weeks ago, Tim A. was here, and Tim A. used to be our worship leader, and his family, he's originally from India, and he had some of his people come, the friends that he has, and the one guy is some kind of doctor, he has some kind of doctor's degree in something or something, but he came up to me after the service, and he says, "I don't know if you remember me or not," he says, "but I was here 2 years ago with my wife, and she had cancer, and you guys prayed for her," and he said, "and the prognosis was not very good." He said, "I want to tell you, she's doing great."
Great.
And you know, God is a, there's no limitations with God. There's no limitations with God. But I thought that was, I should have shared that last week. It was 2 weeks ago when he was here. Kind of slipped my mind. I'm getting old. But anyway, this goes along with her testimony, you know. But he came up and he was excited. He said, "I just want to tell you, she's doing great. Thank you guys for praying for her, you know."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, I've been in the ministry for quite a number of years, and most of that time I traveled by myself because my wife was raising the kids and all this stuff that women do, you know, to keep a house. And when I found out, she just started going out on the road with me. And a couple of months later, the doc came in and announced, told me she had stage 4 cancer of the lungs. I didn't even know what that meant, but I found out in a hurry. But I'm so thankful she's with me today, and we want to thank you guys for all your prayers and standing with us during this time. Hallelujah. They forgot I was from Texas. my son's 6'6", so we do grow big down there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was here last time, and the Lord began to minister to me concerning this place. And this makes about the fourth time I've been here. And he began to talk to me a few weeks ago when we found out we were coming back to be with you guys. And he reminded me, Oscar, some of the things he was speaking to my heart about this place. And I think our brother kind of confirmed it here last night when he began to talk to me about things that he had spoken over this place and some of the things that he had done in this place over the years and how he had put his anointing upon this place and he was going to do thus, 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 and thus. And I know a lot of the words that came unto this place has not been seen or fulfilled yet. And many of the people that were here during the time when those words came forth are no longer here. They're gone doing their whatever they're doing. But God said the words that was spoken over this place hasn't changed. They're going to come forth. And they're in the process of now releasing the rain that's going to bring forth a harvest. And so a spirit of expectancy should be exchanged for doubt and fear. Wondering if God's still here. Why isn't God doing this and why isn't God doing that? And God's instilling within this place an expectancy that's going to begin to bring forth the harvest that he has spoken of over the years. And it would be nice if I knew everything he had spoken. I don't. But when he said he's going to fulfill them, I believe him. Amen. To me, his word is yea and amen. When he speaks, we can stand fast and firm in that which, and when he spoke and said my wife was going to be with me, well, she's with me, isn't she? Because he said she was going to be. And God also spoke and said that all that we lost during those years was going to be restored. Talking about being separated so much. And he has restored. We've got two children that he spoke of that were raised up by Almeida's teachings. She taught them about the things of God, and they were raised up. And most people had to force their children to go to church back in those days. Well, I couldn't force mine to stay home. I never asked them to go. And even when they got older in years and they began to drift away, God refused to let me ask him, would you go to church with us today? And I asked him about that one time. He says, you put them in my hands. He said, I don't want you sending them into the church system that's going to pervert their mindset. He said, I want to deal with them individually according to the way I want to deal with them and instill within them what I want to instill within them, and they will not have to fight against the things that man teaches them compared to my word. Well, both of them today are serving God. My son is even in the process of moving in the ministry, and he's reaching out to prisoners and street people and witnessing and telling them about the things of God. And so I want to speak to you today a little bit about a language that God said he was going to restore to his people. And so that means that there was a language that his creation had that they no longer have. Is that right? And he drew my attention to the scripture that's been spoken of quite a few times here the last 3 or 4 days, is we were in him before the foundation of the world. And so if you and I were in him we had a language. And it doesn't necessarily mean a spoken language, though it could mean a spoken language. But to me, it means that which we are is manifesting that language. And God says in his word, without a vision, the people perish. And one of the problems that I see among the religious folks today is they don't have a vision. And what I mean, and I looked that word vision up, and that word means another word that means a visible manifestation, an illumination. And so without this world having a visible manifestation, they perish. And so God's raising up a people. And in that people, he's making them and bringing them unto their identity that they had in him before the foundation of the world. And one of the problems that humankind has is they can identify with their other identity. Now, when I was born, I come out of my mother's womb from God. And if there was ever a time in my walk that I had a kinship with what took place in heaven, it was at that time. But I didn't know how to speak it. I didn't know how to act upon it. I was just a little baby being taken care of. But in the process of time, something began to happen. And that which I knew in him before the foundation of the world quickly began to fade away. Because I had a mother and a father and family members and people in society that was teaching me some things. And as they began to teach me about this world, I took on a whole new identity. But it's not my identity. And what God wants us to do is come into the place where we can identify with the identity we had in Him before we came into this world. For what reason? Because the world is a people without a vision. They're looking for something, but they're looking for Him in all the wrong places. Because God's raising up a people to become a visible expression of an invisible God. And that's what this generation is crying out for. They're desiring to see something, something they can put their hands to. And so God is raising up the likes of you and I, that they can reach out and touch us and see something that they've never seen before, because the world did not have it to offer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so this is what God wants me to speak to you about today. A language. It's going to bring forth a visible manifestation, an illumination. Something that these little boys can look upon and see, can handle, and not know any other identity but that which they were born with and had in God before they come into this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Four boys must have been a handful. Hallelujah. You identify with that? So I want to read a couple of scriptures, and then we'll go from there as the Lord would lead us. Praise God. I want to read over Nehemiah. About the 13th chapter. Verses 23 and 24. Now, when I was being raised up in my home, I had some good parents. They took us to church. They did all the right things that they felt like they were supposed to do. But somewhere along the line, along the journey, I accepted Christ into my life and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was laying on my back and God spoke. And He says, I was 12 years old. And God spoke and He says, I'm calling you into a ministry. Now, I was raised in the Assemblies of God up to that time. And I left that church that day and started running. And I'll tell you why, because something in my makeup was fearful of talking to people, let alone standing before people. And in my mind, I envisioned all the ministers that I had seen and what they did and what they went through. And something in me rebelled against the concept that I had about ministry. And so for 12 long years, I run from that call that God placed upon my life. And then at the age of 24, I was overseas. I think I was over in Guam. God's miraculously brought me back to the States, because I was supposed to stay overseas for another 2 years. And when I come back to the States, miraculously, I had a sister that had a little baby whose husband had just been killed in an oil well accident. And so I invited her to come and live with me, which is carnally thinking was the worst thing I could have done. Because as soon as they got there, I'd see that little boy crawling around on the floor. And it wasn't bad except on Sundays. And it just hit me every Sunday seeing that little boy. And I said, Sharon, we got to get him in church. I wasn't going to church myself. We got to get that little boy in church. And you know, we went to church for 2 weeks. They went with me and then they left. But on the second or third week, I started going to that church from then on.
All right.
Because God put His approval back upon my life. Hallelujah. Now that approval was in my mind. Okay? Now, what did I tell you that for? When I was being raised up, I was being taught immediately in the school system a way of life. And the things that I was taught, even though we were going to church, and I hope you're with me, did not agree with who I was in God before I come into this world. But what I was being taught from my baby on till today, the time that God reclaimed my life, not that he ever lost it, but I was learning a new identity. And so everything that I come face to face with, I responded according to that identity. And that identity had a language. And the language that it spoke was not God's language, but it was a language that was matured in me through what, how I was raised and what I did during the process of being raised as a young man. And so when anybody met me, they knew me according to my language. You follow me? And so wherever I went and whatever I did, they identified me with a certain lifestyle. But again, I want to say that was not my true identity. It was what I allowed the world to see, what I allowed them to look upon. And it's who I became in myself, who I thought I was. So I was believing a lie. And along with that lie, there was a lot of deception in the religious arena that was going on that was taking me further and further from my true identity. Now I want to read you something before we get started. Oh, I can't. It's time to quit. My watch says 2 minutes till 11. Read this. This is the children of Israel, and I'm not gonna, you know, I've got 50 pages of notes here. And I'm not even started on the first page yet. But listen, this is the children of Israel. During the process of God dealing with them, it says in verse 23, "In those days also saw I Jews that were married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language. I want to read another scripture in a minute that will cause that to stand out a little bit more, okay? But according to the language of each people. So you and I, in this world, speak a language according to each people, according to our raising. Is that an honest statement? But did that take away or nullify our true self? Could it not be said honestly that our true identity still existed? And that we were in him before we came into this makeup, and that identity is within this makeup. Let's turn over to Zephaniah. You'll find out I love the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 9. "Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." Well, that's not right. That's chapter 3, verse 9. "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, and they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. For then will I turn to the people a pure language. Now I want to ask you a question. What does it mean by a pure language? Does that mean that everybody concerned spoke English so that everybody concerned could understand that language? Or does it even concern a spoken language? Could it not be a language, for lack of a better word, that's maybe lying dormant within us, that we have very much been removed from because we've taken on another identity? And could it not be that God's speaking here and telling us, like he was the children of Israel, now you've messed up. You've followed other gods and you've done other things and you've taken on an identity that I never purposed or wanted you to take on. But in spite of it all, I love you.
Yes.
And mercy is going to restore you back to your pure self. That which we were in him before we came into this world. And could it not be that there is a warfare maybe that goes on between the two worlds? Yes. Now I want to ask you a question. What world do you live in? If there's two worlds here, which one do you live in? Do you identify and give yourself to the one? Or have you been awakened to who you really are in him and give yourself to that world? Are you willing to become God's fullness? In order to become God's fullness, we have to find ourselves being brought to a place of being able to speak another language. Because whether it's English, Spanish, all these other languages in this world, all of them are not the pure language God's speaking of. The pure language only comes from God, from the God that's within us. And that God within us is desiring to begin to speak, whether it's verbally, or just manifesting who we really are in him. And what's this world crying out for today? It's not crying out for a building like this on a street corner and fill it up with people. But what they're crying out for is a visible manifestation of an invisible God. Something they can grab a hold of and touch. And if it's true that I was in him before the foundation of the world and I never lost that identity, but it's been lying dormant within, then an awakening can begin to take place. God can begin to send forth the prophets and the apostles or the ministries that are necessary in this day and time to take us out of our old language and give us a whole new language. Now let's take this church called Wings. What kind of language is being spoken here? What kind of language do we speak in our homes? See, we identify with the natural realm so easy. When we leave the spiritual realm of God behind, now, would you guys be offended if I made this statement saying we've been playing church too long? Because God's doing a new thing.
Yes.
According to scriptures. Yes. Hallelujah. And those ones of you that's ever ministered to any degree know that yesterday's message is not good for today. So all that was formed and shaped within me from the time I was from my mother's womb till today . I know we don't like this old word called D-I-E. We have to die to it. Is that a fair statement? Because God's wanting something else to begin to flow. I think our brother said the other night, like a river. Begin to flow like a river, so that all these young people out here, brother, they're going to begin to see the river and taste of it. They're going to know that God is good, because, you know, most of those young people visited church somewhere along the line. Why aren't they there today? Because they didn't hear the language they were looking for. Loved your testimony this morning, brother. God's just begun. He's going to raise you up and put you on a path. Not only will it enable you to forget the past, but the real you is going to come to the surface. And all your family that know you and know what you've been through are going to be amazed. And there's going to be some of that family that's going to look upon you, and I don't know what he's got, but I want what he's got. Amen. See, something's going to start coming, flowing out of you, because you're entering into a relationship. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. So, man alive. How many of you recall King Hezekiah? Wasn't he the good king? Did everything right? Restored a whole lot of stuff? You know how old he was when he started ruling and reigning over Israel? 12. How many of you know that 12 means divine government? So, well, Hezekiah come on the scene. In other words, just like that 12-year-old girl that Jesus went in and raised from the dead. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. A little woman, widow woman that touched him in his garment. She'd been having blood problems for 12 years. She touched him at divine government. Divine government. Beginning to flow like a river. Hallelujah. From out of this house. Hallelujah. So anyhow, Hezekiah, he restored all kinds of things. He cleaned up the temple, restored the temple worship. And he was doing all kinds of good things. Until one day, was it Isaiah, the prophet? Came to him and said, Hezekiah, get your house in order. Well, what does that mean? Man, he'd been doing everything perfect, restoring everything he could get his hands on. So what did it mean when he said, get your house in order? For you're getting ready to die. Now, I want to share something with you, and I need you to prayerfully consider it. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And as he began to pray, he asked God to extend his life, so to speak. He said, I've done this for you. I've done that for you. And right down the street, the temple's alive and well. And people are coming to it and walking in the order that God established through Moses. And so as the prophet turned around, come back, says, God's given you 15 years. Now, most of the Christian community preach that message as being, oh, hallelujah. But they need to read a few more verses. Because it wasn't many days hence when Babylon came on the scene. Babylon, to me, means that world that's not of his world. Okay, it come on the scene. And here come the prophet. What did you show those guys? Oh, I showed them everything in my house. You know, a lot of times we as ministers have a fault. We're willing to show them everything in our house when some things are not to be shown until God's time and season for them to come forth. You might be hearing something from God today you never heard before. It's because it wasn't the proper time and season. But now it's the time and season because God's establishing a new day, a new way for his people to walk in. And what they're doing is he's drawing them into a place where they're identifying with a whole different creation. Hallelujah. Then let's go, and you might say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, let's go to the New Testament. How many of you recall the day of Pentecost? How 120 in the upper room were waiting on the Lord, and all of a sudden something happened. Yes. Something from out of this world began to touch them. Hallelujah. Bro, that's what I want to touch us. Something out of this world, but not out of this world. And we know Pentecost come from the day of Pentecost when God filled them with the Holy Spirit and his presence began to flow from out of them. And what it did is it brought them into a mindset that they were never able to walk in until that day. And that mindset was one of love and union, unity. And they begin to move in that unity. In fact, so much so that they begin to sell everything that they had gained in this world. Remember that? And God's church began to grow and it began to spread across the then known world. But most of us understand Ananias. See, Ananias had probably had opportunity to gain all the same experiences that they had. But there's something in Ananias that began to come to the surface. Everybody was selling their land. And when I talk about land, I'm not talking about this land. I'm talking about this land right here. Right here. Everybody was selling their land, and so Ananias and Sapphira sold their land. And they come to Peter and the apostles. They said, man, we've sold our land, and we want to give it to the church. And what happened? How many of you know that Ananias and Sapphira didn't die that day? They were already dead. They just manifested that death. Are you with me?
Yes.
And you and I, except for the God that's in us, are dead until we come into an understanding of who we are in him. See, most of us still try to identify with all those years of teaching that we've went through, trying to be successful in this life. Oh, I got to make something of myself in this life. But meanwhile, God is not interested in you in this life. So Ananias, he says, oh, I sold it for thus and thus, and I'm giving it to the church. And what was said? Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? Is that what he said? And he just fell over. Sapphira, the same thing. She confirmed, yeah, we sold it. And they just fell over. Now, if you're in agreement with me that God's doing a new thing, just like he did in a greater abundance than he did on the day of Pentecost, today, God's asking something of us. You know, it's fine for me to tell you that you were born in him before the foundation, you were in him before the foundation of the world. But from what I've understood in what I've said thus far, where's the visible manifestation? What's this we're looking for? They're looking for a visible manifestation of the world that we are a part of. When they come in among you, what world do they see? How many of you remember a prayer? I'm going to skip a whole bunch of stuff here and I'm going to get to the prayer, okay? Because I hadn't got wound up yet. Nobody's felt any spit, have they? And I haven't run through the aisles and leaped over the pews, have I? Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, where'd your mind go when I said that? Most of the Christian community instantly looks up. But that heaven, that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy nature. That nature.
Yes.
That mind of Christ that only thinks upon the things of God, that understands God and can explain God to everyone he comes in contact with, because he's speaking a language. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in this heaven. Identifying with yourself. Identifying with the true you. Identifying with the Father. Knowing that you and I are a part of that which he has purposed in himself before the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
And what has kept us from moving into that, the fullness of manifesting? What's this world looking for? Romans is saying to us again, and every morning when I wake up, I hear a cry and a groaning going on. Because there's a world out here. There's a generation out here. There's a young group of young people out here that's looking with all of their energy and all of their ability and all of their talents. They're looking for something. They're looking for fulfillment. And you and I both know, because we've walked this path, a fulfillment does not come through education, through finances, and through all the things that this world has to offer. So that which they're looking for, they don't have a vision. They haven't seen the manifestation of that which Christ is. But let God raise this woman up on her feet and let her neighborhood see the Christ in her manifesting a full measure of who he is. And that whole neighborhood is going to be changed. Hallelujah. Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for you and I that come out of the Father before the beginning of time. And they're looking for completeness in him. And they're looking for it in drugs and bars and this and that and the other things. Two toys. Toys to play with. Looking for satisfaction. When all the time it exists right here. It exists right here. It exists right here. Hallelujah. So what's God doing? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, that this world might begin to see and behold him as he is. Hallelujah. And you know what will happen? I'm not trying to prophesy the future, but you know what will happen? You'll have kids that will not know this world.
That's right.
Because you're going to teach them who you were in him before the foundation of the world. You know, who says you're too old? What world are you talking from? And I'm going to have to shut her down, folks, but one of these days I'm going to come here and have time to finish the whole message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, at 3 o'clock, he's got to set it up, doesn't he? Well, I don't know. I want to share some things with you. It's already been told that your musical ability and your talent's going to change, and you're going to become a writer if you're not already. And the things that you are going to write are going to be from another world. And through that, people are going to be touched. Where in the world did you get a song like that? And you're going to have to tell them. Hallelujah. You're going to speak another language in your songs. Hallelujah. You know, the explosion that's going to take place in this day is just begun. You know, we've just begun to touch the surface of the thing that God's revealing now. But there's a depth in God that you're going to find yourself falling into. And I hope you understand what we mean by falling. You're going to fall into it. Yes. And something's going to come out of you that's going to change your whole perspective on your ministry. Yeah. Not for the bad. Nothing's wrong with your ministry. You follow me? Next level. God is building a house. You're a house builder, aren't you? God's building a house.
Yes.
And there's many children going to come your way.
Amen.
Many, many offspring. Hallelujah. They're happy.
Yeah.
Are they looking for brothers and sisters? But just like our brother here is moving in the things of God in another language, doesn't mean that God's not giving us the language to understand, the ability to understand that language. He's quickening. To us. Do you not know that's what the Holy Spirit's all about? It wasn't just to speak in tongues and prophesy and do this, but it's to give us the ability to hear the voice of God and respond to that voice. Hallelujah. See, on the day of Pentecost, everybody spoke in a different language until he showed up. Then he qualified to every one of them, regardless of what language they spoke, he qualified his purpose and will to that people. They all heard him in their language. God humbled himself and bowed down to them to meet their need where they were, that they might be lifted up and restored into a language. Oh, you guys, hallelujah. Sometimes the words that I speak might seem a little harsh, but you guys are now receiving instructions from God.
Commission.
To move into a new order of churchianity. And the thing is he got people here that he's qualified. So if he is moving upon you to move in a certain direction, don't compare what you think is the qualifications. He's qualified you. And as you respond and move in what God, you know what? Some of you don't move because you have a spirit of fear comes against you. That you might be moving wrong, or might not be anointed, or not might not be this. Maybe in times past you received a little too much criticism. Well, God doesn't criticize. God encourages. And He doesn't condemn. Hallelujah. He raises up and loves. He delivers and sets free. And so, a new commission, that's a good word. As a new commission comes among us, be bold. Be bold and release one another. Release one another. That's one of the things that the Christian community does, is it holds people in bondage in so many different areas. When maybe that little boy right there might have the word of God for this hour and this day. Oh, he's just a kid. Take him on back to the nursery. Just using that example. So God's in the restoring business. He's restoring us back to who we were in Him. And all it takes is to yield to Him. Hallelujah. Now, what we want to do is we want to pronounce death upon death. What's the last enemy to be destroyed?
Death.
So let's pronounce death upon death. That we might be liberated and free.
Yes, yes.
To move in God. Father, we're just so thankful.
Yes.
For who you are and what you're doing among your people. For the ones that you're gathering together in this time and this season.
Lord.
You've got them separated in the different areas, but there's a drawing. There's a drawing that's going on, Father, and we're asking that your word would be raised up and pronounced and brought forth with clarity. Give each one of us an ear to hear what thus saith the Lord, and move in accordance to that which you declare. Restore. Restore. There's a great restoration going on, Father, and we thank you for it. In your name we pray. God bless you folks.